This is a Strevel podcast, which is a platform for women with disabilities in East Africa and small developing island states to highlight their experiences, challenges, and opportunities for strengthening their voice to actively participate in climate change policy and negotiations. Hi, my name is Susan Grace, and welcome to another episode of the Strevel podcast. I love the discussions we've had in previous episodes where women have said, listen, if we're not being brought to the table, we either go to the table by force, or we either bring people to the table or take the table to where they are. I love it. And this morning, I'm joined by an amazing panelist of beautiful women. You're looking gorgeous. I'm going to give each one of you an opportunity to introduce yourself for the people who are seeing you for the first time. I'm going to start with you, Josephine.
Okay, my name is Josephine Sharar. I'm a director in the Hands of Mercy Initiative, which is an initiative that works on the grassroots, dealing with the girls and women with disability in the Maasai land.
All right, thank you so much. Halima?
Thank you so much. My name is Halima Sharif, the director and founder of Women of Hope Able Differently, an organization working for women and girls with disability in Kajiado County.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. And today we want to unpack matters knowledge when it comes to climate change and participation. And you know, they say knowledge is power. So meaning if you don't have the knowledge, maybe you don't have much power. And we're having this conversation so that we can empower women out there, telling them you can join the table. And maybe I'll start with you, Halima.
Thank you so much. I feel the impacting for women with disability at the grassroots is when they are given the safe space to speak out, to seek knowledge, and also to make decisions as women and girls with disability in the society. Yeah.
I'm thinking of those, you know, indigenous communities, and you tunaanga ni kama zimesahaulika kidogo. But, you know, when it comes to climate change...
Sio kidogo, wamesahaulika.
Wamesahaulika sana.
Kabisa.
Yeah, but now we want to, like you've said, bring them to the table. And we're wondering, what can we do as a society so that we make sure we are reaching to them?
What should be done is involving them, reaching them out on an awareness creation, bringing them to such meetings like the ICASA conference, so that they can speak for themselves, because as a woman and a girl with disability, whatever they undergo, it's them to speak out. As my colleague can agree with me, in urban a lot is going on. They attend conferences, they attend meetings and trainings, so they are somehow empowered than the indigenous women with disability. So for them to have the impact, they should be given the chance and the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Josephine, let me come to you. And we believe that for there to be change, we need to start doing things differently. You know, if you do the same thing, same way, same means, it there won't be much of a change. And there's something you're telling me about the Maasai community before we started the show that I would love for you to share with the viewers, some of the things that you're changing, the narrative you're changing in the Maasai community.
Okay, in the Maasai community, as I said previously, that there's a lot of stigma yet, because even accepting to bring this child, before even coming, talking about to the table, you have maybe to make sure this parent first accept the child as a normal child that she has given birth. So there's a lot what we, like for example, when I started this organization, I go to the rural areas, showing them as a, working as an example, I myself, because I'm physically challenged, trying to create awareness, telling them that, you see now, if maybe I was hidden as a person with disability by my parents, there could be a problem. I could be maybe still independent with the parent, or I could not be somebody like the way now I am. So we are trying to tell them, bring them out, We register them as persons with disability, trying to group them as groups because, you know, dealing with an individual might be hard. So maybe trying to bring them together, trying to get some counselors to counsel them so that they can get the acceptance of the child that they have and treat this child as normal, and trying also to place them. Maybe, you know, there are those mostly right now it is cerebral palsy is too much. So maybe at least we work with the Ministry of Education, trying to assess them, knowing where they can be placed. Because, you know, you cannot, most people take it as like helping a person with disabilities, bringing them food, clothes, which will not be, it's not viable, because maybe you need to make this parent know that this child can come out of her hands. She can understand, maybe to be able to be responsible of herself, on the issues of personal hygienics, maybe going to the toilet, learning some basic knowledge, so that at least it can release this parent that she can be able to face the society. And also we do creation of awareness on the society, trying to do a walk as maybe we usually bring those who have Excel as persons with disability. We engage the county, do a walk, showing them that community, come here, let us come to the table, let us talk, let's make these parents with children with disability accept. Because, you know, what makes them to hide? It's because of the community. You yourself, you are talking negative, you are seeing that it's a curse to get a child with disability. It is a bad omen, which is not seen right now. People like us, we are standing on our own. We are dependent. We are out of our parents' hands. So let us accept these children.
Interesting. Thank you so much for that. Halima, I'm thinking of that person who's, again, coming from the indigenous community. They feel like they don't have an education, and they feel like maybe I have nothing to bring to the table. What do you have to tell that person?
Okay. As an indigenous person, I totally disagree, because we have a lot to bring on table, because we have our own cultures, we have our own preservations. So as a woman with disability, whatever we undergo as an indigenous woman, I have something to speak out on the table, because whenever there's these gatherings, if I'm not represented, who will represent me? So I totally disagree. If I'm not learned, or if I'm not included, yes, I will not speak out. I have a lot as a woman with disability, as an indigenous, to speak, because we have our own cultures, we have our own reservations as women, and we have things which we suffer and we experience from our culture and indigenous people.
All right.
As an indigenous person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look back, let's say maybe 10 or more years back, is there any particular experience you went through?
Sure. 10 years back, we were still left behind. We still had the stigma, not represented, and also the discrimination. But as we are speaking, as per now, things are changing slowly, adapting adapting the systems, coming out, speaking on what is affecting us. So there's a change.
There's a change.
Yeah, there's a change.
And but I'm still more is to come.
More to come. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Justine, given the community you come from, did you at any point experience some form of stigma? And how did you come out of it and decided, you know what, I'm not going to allow this to define me, I'm going to snap out of it, and I'm going to start changing the narrative for my community?
Okay, yes, there is a time, because, you know, growing in such an environment, you know, the Maasai, even the names, they give names which really demean in you. and they make you like you are nobody, because in the Maasai land, I'm sorry to say, they relate you with, let's say, for example, a hyena. Mm-hmm. If they call you, they say, or ngojine, ngojine. So ngojine, it means hyena. Mm-hmm. Either they call you maybe a ngogi, yani, that is a curse. It's a curse. This is a curse. Mm-hmm. So it is really, it really nini sometimes give you stigma, because even standing, when you just walk up, maybe to walk, mm-hmm. everybody is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Ah, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So they start making you, your self-esteem might go down, mm-hmm. because you might even not, maybe you might go somewhere you want just to sit, because when you wake up, everybody is like, what? So you feel so much like you are not normal. Mm-hmm. You are like, am I not a normal child? So, but when I came to, because, you know, I myself, I grew up in, I got to the missionary who helped me in my education. Mm-hmm. So she was trying to show me that I'm just normal, I'm just a normal child. So when I used to, maybe after I grew up, in 10 years later, mm-hmm. I was trying to show people, maybe don't refer us as a hyena, don't refer us, right, like, for example, right now, I'm confident of my disability. I've appreciated myself. So sometimes people say, "Hey, you are proud of it," because I say, even I just can't walk. I'm not limping, or I'm not the way you are saying, like they walking like a hyena. What you say, me, I'm beautifully. I appreciate myself. So accept that we are not the way you refer us. So you have to change the narratives of calling us bad names, because those bad names, if a person doesn't have a strong self-esteem, mm-hmm. you will end up maybe despising yourself, not even able to take a step. But the moment that I discovered that these are the things that maybe might hinder me to go on, because even right now, to shock you, maybe I went driving. I can drive a car. Mm-hmm. So there was a time that I visited a community. I drove a car. Mm-hmm. Well, just recently. And when you come out, everybody is like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's only God who is driving this car. So I tell them, every car on the road mm-hmm. is being protected by God. Mm-hmm. Even it doesn't matter that you have two legs, God is not in protection. So if it is even me, so they have to come into my car. How are you driving this car? So they are trying to see, how am I maneuvering?
Yeah.
So I accept myself. So even I make jokes, I just tell them, just come in, see how, move there, we come here. Mm-hmm. So at least to heal the mentality of people that we are not able. Disability is not inability.
Thank you.
As she has said, if we accept ourselves, we show the community we are not a curse. We are not, because with the culture and norms, we are called curse or bad omens. Mm-hmm. So speaking out and giving our community the sensitization, letting them knowing we are not a curse, mm-hmm. it is coming up slowly now mm-hmm. for people accepting us. Yeah. Yeah.
And also to add on it, you know, the stigma you said that what stigma did you had experience? Yeah. You know, maybe in Maasai land, mm-hmm. you know, they give out girls for marriage mm-hmm. at an early age. But to me, when I got, and others get pregnant at an early age, mm-hmm. so you are being told, hey, Nantu, make sure you learn, because like your parents, they harass you with that. Yeah. You are disabled. So one, no one will marry you at the first case. Mm-hmm. If you get pregnant, then it will be a problem, because you cannot even carry your child. So that thing hit me, and I say, this home, I'll have to work hard and come out and come back with the force that I'll be better than even those they think that they have two legs. And that made me to study hard and to focus ahead, knowing that it's only through this education that I can change the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for adding on to that. And yes.
Just adding on it, because she has mentioned about as a woman with disability, adding on it, you know, as a woman with disability in indigenous community, you are left out. You're not like any other woman. So with coming to gender-based violence, sexual reproductive health, it's totally shut down. Even if you are abused, physically abused or sexually abused, if you speak out, people like, that person did this to you, is also cast like you. So it is like, as a woman with disability, even making decision of having a child, it was like, you are already cast person. How can you think of having a baby? You know? Yeah, so it is so sad for a woman with disability in indigenous community. But as things changes, and with the advocacy and sensitization, the stigma is, for us as women and girls with disability, we are now accepting, I can make my own decision, I can have a baby, be it having a husband or not having a husband, I can have my own baby, I can do my family planning, I can access the sexual reproductive health from the health centers. Yeah.
So now it becomes a you decision, not society.
Yeah, because decision, with the have. Society, yeah. Still, there's still a big, there's a huge negligence and stigmatization.
Uh-huh.
So sensitizing even the health centers and the service providers has made them accept this person, this lady and a girl and a woman can seek services like any other woman.
Do you think, Josephine, that maybe one of the other challenges we need to tackle, and this is something I've seen, especially when I've dealt with people with disabilities, they don't like to be, like you said, kubembelezo, like to be treated as such, fragile, weak. I mean, I'm not saying be reckless, but you don't like when people emphasize so much on the disability.
Yeah, because what we don't like as disabled, we don't like empathy. You know, there's empathy and sympathy. Empathy, it's like you are too much. It's like I'm not able. Maybe even if I try to stand here, you are here. Oh, let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
You allow me to stand on my own. Allow me to do my things, my space. So because if you start now, maybe showing that I'm weak, I'll be weaker. But show me that I'm capable, then I can stand, I can walk. You know, there are things that a blind person can do, or there are things that I can do. You cannot do.
Yeah.
When you are seated right now, I can sit and do other things. Maybe you yourself, you can't. But allow them to have that self. Allow them, most of them, they could accept themselves the way they are. The disability, accept it is me, and it can allow you to move. And let those people who are able, don't sympathize on us too much, because you'll kill the self-esteem.
Halima, you wanted to add something as you wind up?
I just wanted to add on what she said. Acceptance is the way to go as a person to disability at large. So once that person with disability accept, I am a human being like any other person, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And she has said, doing whatever, the sympathy or the empathy, it's not going to work. Me as a woman with disability, I vied for Women Rep 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I was campaigning, people were empathizing with me, sympathizing, even the leadership themselves, asking me, wewe tutakupatia ya nominated, iyo ya elective seat, wacha huyu mama, tum support, aende ya tafute kura, wewe tulia tukupatia nominated. So it is not only me to accept. Me, I accepted as a woman with disability. I can make it to the elective seat like the other women's. So even the leadership and the structure, let them also accept we as women and girls and as a person with disability in general, we can do it. We are capable.
I love that. That's you're a go-getter. Yeah. But now, as we now bring this to a close, let's say we have gone back to the village, we've empowered these women, we have told them, get out of that shell, you are able. We are bringing them to the negotiation tables. Are there opportunities? Is there room for them on those tables?
Yes, there's room. There's room for them because, as you previously asked, Salima, that about they are not learned, they are not educated. That does not matter because we, as now, the way now disability is being included, at least inclusivity, you are allowed to come with an aide. You are allowed to come with someone to translate what you are talking, because it's just like a person who is a deaf person. He is allowed to come with a translator, or a blind person comes with a translator. The same as maybe a woman with disability who is not learned. It's good that we bring them to the table also. It doesn't matter whether they are not learned. Through their culture, through the way they speak, there's someone to translate what she's saying. And maybe that is when now we are hitting the nail, because this is the person who is the real person who is being affected. Now, telling how the shoe pinches, because you know when you are in the interior, you can just face so much challenges, because the way of transport is a problem. The way of it's the mostly in our culture, most of the things is walking.
Yes.
Walking to the road, walking to whatever. So there are so much challenges, but we can bring them to the table. Let them come. Let them speak on their own language. It doesn't matter the culture you are coming from, or you are not learned. Because if we start saying that then unlearned will not be on the table, then we are not now inclusivity. Inclusivity, there is a gap, because we should bring them, let them come. And that is now how we can change our cultures, change our perspective on disability, because we have brought someone from either central in the interior part, Maasai, who are too much on stigma, to the table. Let them come. Well, it doesn't matter how they wear their culture. Let them come on the table and bring their ideas. And that will bring now even how policies are being made, how the inclusivity is being done, that it will now at least reduce the gap of the urban and the rural people.
Yeah.
Okay, that is very beautiful. Thank you so much. That is Halima Sharif and Josephine Sharar. I said it right. I learned a bit of Maasai while I was there. I know Asheoleng. Asheoleng. Yeah, it means thank you so much. And thank you also for keeping us company here. Remember, we can never exhaust these conversations, and these are conversations we also need to normalize even outside or away from this podcast. My name is Susan Grace. I'll see you in the next episode.